Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. This is a very sad day for America because it's apparent the Democrats are going to continue to steal and steal as long as they can control the machines. They're going to give no yardage whatsoever, no concession. Democracy was on the ballot and democracy lost, because the Democrats stole. I mean, it couldn't be more obvious than two key pivotal races, one in the East, one in the West. Carrie Lake could not lose. John Fetterman could not win. Those were two acid tests. Katie Hobbs is completely incompetent. She just happened to be Secretary of State in Arizona. How can she be running, managing the race involving herself? So far as I can tell, it was as simple there, simply flipping, so that every vote cast for Carrie Lake was counted for Hobbs, and every vote cast for Hobbs was counted for Carrie Lake. That would make good sense. You get the right total overall vote. But Carrie Lake was sensational. There's no possible way she could have lost. And meanwhile, in Pennsylvania, there's no possible way John Fetterman could have won. I'm looking here at a photograph of 100 or more people holding Fetterman sign. Well, who the hell are they? I'll tell you right now who they are. They're paid. These are paid. These are people who are paid to hold Fetterman sign. We owe all this to Barack Obama. This bastard nullified the Smith-Mundt Act in 1948 to permit the use of the same techniques of propaganda and disinformation that heretofore had only been allowed to be used abroad to be imported into the USA by the Smith-Mundt Act, the Modernization Act of 2012, just in time to bring a Sandy Hook. And we've just been suffocated by an avalanche of false flags. Boston bombing, Orlando, Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, Las Vegas, Buffalo, Uvalde. But now they're using it to manufacture support. I mean, this is horrendous. After the disastrous poll, where when he was asked, what qualifies you for governor? And Fetterman said, hi. Good night, everybody. it was downhill. 82% believe that Oz won that debate. 18% for Fetterman. The polls were just spiking. Fetterman was dropping like a rock. Oz was rising meteorically. And you're going to get this outcome now? Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Here's a report from the AP. For weeks, Republicans predicted a red wave would carry them to power in Congress as voters repudiated majority Democrats for failing to tame skyrocketing inflation and address worries about rising crime. That's absolutely right. Not to mention mass migration. The plan is to bring in 100 million migrants into the United States, completely distort the demographics, turn us into a third world nation, abandon the borders, and Americans had nothing to say about it. So what's the AP reporting? The reality appeared far different early Wednesday. I'm telling you, we got here a measure of corruption. The Republicans should have picked up 4 to 5. We should be 54 to 55 Senate seats for the Republicans. In the House, minimally 45 seats in the House. Anything less than that is telling you what's going on here. And the idea that Carrie Lake would be defeated to be governor of Arizona, that John Fetterman, totally incompetent, the guy's an oaf. He's completely incompetent. Could be made a senator, a United States senator? The guy can't even utter a coherent sentence, and he's going to be part of what's supposed to be the greatest deliberative body in the world, the 100 United States, 100 member United States, and give me a break. AP continues. Rather than a wholesale rejection of President Joe Biden and his party, the results were far more mixed as return from Tuesday's midterm trickled in. It should have been wholesale repudiation. What in God's name has Biden done good for America? Not a bloody thing. He comes in, he cancels XL pipeline. He revokes the permits to drill on federal land. Donald Trump had made us energy independent. The first thing Biden does is to compromise that. Now he's been draining the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to artificially deflate the price of gas because that was going to work so massively. Well, that was an act of treason all by itself. The Strategic Petroleum Reserve is not to be drained for political purposes, but that's what's going on here. The surge of migrants? Not only that, but the extreme position on abortion the Democrats ran on, of abortion right up to moment of birth or even after, that is the least popular position in the United States, and that was their primary campaign issue. Catholics were overwhelmingly rejecting the Democrats. Hispanics, most of whom are Catholic, were overwhelmingly rejecting the Democrats. Even white suburban women were overwhelmingly turning to the Republican Party. Those are the three key bases for the Democrat Party. Suburban women, who make up 20% of the electorate, blacks and Hispanics, and they were losing all three. They were turning massively to the Republicans. There is no possible way the Democrats could have legitimately won these midterm elections. It is impossible. If you look back historically, you see the party in power historically, time after time, takes massive hits in the midterm. And it's a case where the party in power wasn't even all as unpopular as Biden here. Biden, Harris, two utter incompetents, fumblers, stumblers, just outrageous, embarrassing the United States, making this nation look like a joke. Harris, a total airhead. She does not have a functioning brain. And we don't lose even the kind of clobbering that a party in power would normally take. How dumb do you have to be to see what's going on here? The theft of the election, the Dominion voting machines again and again and again. You got the governors of New York and Michigan, monsters, two women who are monsters being reelected. Give me a break. Many Democrat incumbents prove surprisingly resilient. This is what you can do when you control the voting. Outperforming their party's own expectations, and by every reasonable measure, performing an act that was not merely improbable, but ridiculous. Meanwhile, Democrat John Fetterman won an open Senate seat currently held by the GOP, while other key races that'll determine control of the chamber remain too early to call. You got Ron Johnson right here in Wisconsin just hanging on to like a 1% lead. That means right here in Wisconsin, everything is just as corrupt as it is everywhere else. When you wake up tomorrow, we will be in the majority. Nancy Pelosi will be in the minority. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy predicted early Wednesday he may be right. But it appears that likely Republican gains would come on far less favorable terms than anticipated. We even had voting machines stop working across America. These are the machines that are supposed to guarantee we have safe and reliable elections. They weren't even working in many key districts. Second smartest guy in America wrote, "My thesis is that the Uniparty will allow the Republicans to win the midterm. The stock market that was pumped yesterday and today will crash right after the GOP take back control of the Senate and House. Republicans will be blamed for this market collapse. The next pandemic this winter will be announced as a cover-up for VADES. A party of Mr. Operation Warp Speed will be blamed for this PSYOP 22. What did Tucker have to say about this the day before? Right-wing media is preparing people for a civil war after Election Day. Outlet after outlet is questioning the possibility of a Democrat victory this midterm election. They're painting a picture of insurgency on Election Day, but Tucker adds, from the left. Conservative news outlet media figures have been priming voters to reject tight Democrat victories or any outcome they don't like on Tuesday. Bottom line, Democrats absolutely cannot lose tomorrow's election, Tucker Carlson told his viewers Monday night. So with that in mind, they're already preparing the rest of us for election theft, which if you don't want a civil war, you shouldn't complain about. Conservative news outlets and media figures have been priming voters to reject tight Democrat victories or any outcomes they don't like on Tuesday. But is it because all the evidence supports it? Poll after poll after poll, even Biden's own pollsters said this appeared to be a realignment election, that because so many Hispanics and blacks were moving to the Republican Party. Biden's own pollster. And in this case, you can guarantee the polls are right and the outcome is wrong. And you see that massive deviation from the polls and you begin to appreciate the enormity of the corruption. Bottom line, Democrats absolutely cannot lose tomorrow's election, Tucker told his viewers. So with that in mind, they're already preparing the rest of us for election theft, which if you don't want a civil war, you shouldn't complain about. But far-right news outlets are trying to argue delays. I mean, Democrats are rigging the... Well, there's no doubt about that. In L.A., one of the largest counties in the United States, maybe the most populous, they're saying it might take weeks. Well, that's weeks during which the Democrats can fix the vote. They can switch ballots. They can alter the outcome. The Federalist praise so-called election observers who've been turning up to ballot boxes and voting stations, ostensibly to make sure there's no voter fraud. The outlet also accused the Department of Justice of deploying federal officials to stop poll watchers in the government's latest election rigging scheme. There's really no room for doubt about that either. In reality, the self-appointed watchers, some of whom showed up armed, have been accused of voter intimidation. Arizona has filed 18 counts of voter intimidation with the Department of Justice. North Carolina reported both voter intimidation and interference. Steve Bannon, former advisor to Donald Trump, accused the Democrats of trying to steal the election via mail-in ballots. They've perfected this. They've refined it. We're going to contest all of this. Only legitimate, certifiable chain of custody votes count okay, Bannon said. Despite being the only party with members who continue to lie about the 2020 election, my goodness. I mean, it's not the Republicans who are lying about the 2020 election, my God. The right-wingers are saying the Democrats will not only reject midterm losses, will get violent over them. In addition to Tucker's cry of civil war, the Federalist War Democrats will not cede power peacefully, and Bannon said the left will get nasty. Chillingly, it's not the left that appears to be preparing for violence. Reporter Ben Collins, who covers disinformation in Extreme, tweeted that on extremist pro-Trump forums, they are not talking about voting. Well, JFK observed, those who make peaceful reform impossible make violent revolution inevitable. The great beauty of our system is built in to the Constitution is not only the distribution of powers between the federal, the judicial, and the legislative, the executive, so that the legislature passes the laws, the executive enforces them, and the judiciary interprets them, which is a brilliant stroke all by itself, but periodic elections where every member of the House is subject to re-election every 2 years, and a third of the Senate is re-elected every 2 years with a 6-year terms. So you can regularly replace. This is how you correct the pendulum. If it swings too far one way or too far another, the people have a voice. And that's exactly the way it should be. So what the Democrats are doing is massively destroying. They're not letting the pendulum swing back. They're going to want to continue the massive migration. They're going to continue the pushing the Green New Deal, which is a manifest absurdity with no scientific background. They're going to continue to promote the vax. They're going to continue to do everything destructive to America that they've been hell-bent upon since they came into office. This is disgusting beyond words. I had the great pleasure earlier this morning of interviewing Don Jeffries, someone with whom I had a lot of interaction around 20 or 25 years ago in relation to research on JFK on the Education Forum, which was by far the most active in deliberating about JFK. Don has been doing a lot of excellent work on a whole host of fronts. He's published multiple books, and I am so impressed. I wanted him to join us today. Don, please give us some of your thoughts preliminarily about what's gone on here.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jim. Yeah, as we spoke about earlier, I mean, this is obviously I wrote an article on Substack the other day called "If," and I just quoted Mark Twain, "If voting changed anything, it would be illegal." And I think people have to face the fact at this point, the corruption is so intense, and the leadership is so bad, so beyond all redemption. I mean, these people are just, and a lot of people think they sold their souls to Satan. And, I wouldn't doubt it at this point. They're that bad. But to think that they are going to let you vote them out of power, and what I'm keeping track of, Jim, as I always do every election, even more important to Democrats and Republicans, I always look at the number of incumbents that lose. Now, in American elections, and this is our utter shame, and this is as long back as you can look, we average well under the 90% plus of elections. If somebody's an incumbent and he runs for re-election, it's almost impossible for them to lose. I think it's around 96% or something like that average. So look for that and see him in the incumbents. But ironically, you mentioned Ron Johnson, your senator. He's one of the few pretty decent ones, I think. I think he's got a lot of good qualities. So it would be ironic if he would be, maybe the only incumbent senator to lose. But that's happened before. But so look at that and just consider that at the height of the Soviet Union, at the height of their tyranny, the Russian Politburo had a turnover rate that was greater than we see in a typical American election. I don't know what that says about us, but I know around here, my congressman is Jerry Connolly, and I walk around the neighborhood, and I see signs for him. I think I saw one sign for his opponent, and he just crushed the opposite. He always does. And I want to just, stop my neighbors. I hate to have political discussions like that, and just say, explain to me, what would motivate you to put a sign for this guy on your lawn? I mean, he's been there, 15, 20 years or something, but what has he done for you? I don't understand. What is it? Why can't you? And we hear it on Fox News and CNN, their mantra is, incumbents have a built-in advantage, and it's hard for incumbents to lose. Why? A person walks into the poll booth, and if they don't know who their incumbent is, they shouldn't be allowed to vote. That's stupid. And unfortunately, a lot of Americans don't. But if you're voting, I don't see how you would be motivated unless somebody, you have a decent one there in Ron Johnson. There are a few good ones, but Rand Paul's pretty good. Not as good as his dad, he's pretty good. But, you know, there aren't many of them. So beyond that, how could you be motivated to vote for somebody like that who's been part of the problem for so long? You mentioned Lake's opponent, Katie Hobbs, that is part of the problem and will be overseeing the results and oversaw the results last time. So this is the ultimate example of the Foxes guarding the henhouse. But I think this is just a reminder to people. Now, it's, you know, I don't make predictions. It's possible. The Senate seems to be still maybe up in the air. But I just, you know, does anybody have any confidence, you know, after runoffs or days or weeks of counting, who's going to end up, what happens every time? Look what happened last time in Georgia, those two elections that Warnock actually was one of the guys that won those. And it was obvious. I think I remember watching it that night, and the conspiracy people like me, we saw with our own eyes that I forget who the guy was running against Warnock, but he wasn't a good candidate. He's a typical, you know, Republican, as I call him, but he was better than Warnock, who was, you know, his wife was basically on videotape accusing him of, you know, beating her and being a wife beater, but somehow he still got elected. But during that election, you saw, I think it was 10,000 or 30,000, 50,000, some incredible amount of votes that simply the total for the other guy, it just suddenly dropped by that amount, as you're seeing the running total on CNN or something. So those kind of things happen, unfortunately. And I, we didn't talk earlier about that in my book, Hidden History, though. I went over the history of vote fraud, and I talked a lot about the Collier brothers, the late Collier brothers, both died before their time. And one of them went on to make a documentary, a good documentary about the not going to the moon, which that was another one of your issues as well. But the vote scam, they went right to the core of it. They talked to the guy that did the computer projections, and you talk about conspiracy 101. I mean, this is like right out of a bad movie. They wanted to see, okay, what is your algorithm here? How do you predict these? What computer programs? How do you do this? And he looked at them and he told them, you'll never prove a thing. Now, that's the kind of stuff you see out of Hollywood, but it's reality. And at that time, when they first tried to prove vote fraud, they videotaped League of Women Voters tampering with ballots 20 years or so before the hanging chads of 2000, which changed nothing, of course. And what happened is that time, the Attorney General of Dade County was Janet Reno before she became Attorney General of the United States. So instead of investigating the vote fraud that he had documented in the videotape, she targeted the Collier brothers and tried to go after them. So, I mean, we even had like a newspaper editor at that time that was talking about it with some shot in his driveway. I mean, this is the kind of thug stuff you see everywhere with body counts and everything. You don't expose these things or you risk everything. But the 2000 that the Democrats were up in arms about, and rightfully so, and the Supreme Court just made W president, they were up in arms about that, but nothing changed. In fact, in 2020, and that's why I tried to counsel the Republicans to keep talking about a red wave. I said, you know, what changed from 2020? You've got political prisoners sitting in Washington, D.C. for almost 2 years denied all due process that protested the last election. That was their answer to a protest. That, okay, you're a domestic terrorist. We're going to throw you in prison. The FBI is going to come visit your home. So what happened? Nothing happened. If anything, more illegal immigrants will be voting because they want that. More people will be voting with ID, opening the way for the dead to vote, and people voting early and often, as you used to joke about. And nothing happened with the mail-in ballots. Now they don't have to be dated. They don't have to be verified. So it opens to all kinds of corruption. That's what you're going to see, why Joe Biden told you ahead of time that it's going to take days to count these votes. And you'll see, look at all these close races. See how they all turn out. I mean, you know, maybe I'm sure the Republicans will come, but right now it looks like they may barely have a majority in the House. And again, if they have that same leadership, nothing's going to happen. These people that think they're going to hold hearings on this and that, nah, I don't see that coming.
That's pretty distressing, Don. And indeed, early exit polling was showing in Maricopa County only 14% of Democrats showed up. I think they were so despondent. So the very idea of having Carrie Lake lose, having this Katie Hobbs win, is insulting beyond belief. I mean, how long do they think the American people, I'm sorry, I think this has gone over the edge. They've gone a bridge too far. And I would not be surprised if there were to be violence taking place here. I would not be surprised if prominent Democrats who are behind all this election theft, like Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer or Barack Obama, or Joe Biden, maybe less so because he's just a puppet, George Soros. I wouldn't be surprised if they were targeted. I mean targeted, not by massive operations. I would not be surprised to see selective assassinations take place in this country when you have lost control of democracy, when democracy was on the ticket and it was destroyed. That's how I see it. This election proves we are no longer a functioning or viable democracy, proves we have been subjected to a electronic tyranny through these voting machines, all of which deserve to be at the bottom of the ocean. It proves the Democrats will do anything to remain in power, no matter how damaging or how destructive it may be to the United States and its citizens. Every action they've taken since they've come into office has been damaging to America in very serious ways, destroying the economy. We're about to hit a break, but I'm so delighted to have you here, Don. And when we come back, we'll pick it up there. But just remember, all the polling was very consistent. We're going to pick up 4 or 5 seats in the Senate, 45 or more in the House. So you can measure the discrepancy. And in fact, it turns out historically, even when the administration is sort of ho-hum, that they take massive hits at the midterm, and in this case, they're not even getting that when the administration in power is horrific and despised by every American. So, stand by.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, John, I want you to pick up. I mean, it's just outrageous what's going on here. You got completely monstrous governors, like in Michigan and New York, these women who have just been calamitously bad. They're despised by every resident of their respective states, and yet they're being reelected. I mean, time after time, we're seeing this as grotesque. And I don't believe any serious student can have any doubts whatsoever that this is all wrong. There's no way to explain it other than by corruption, and particularly by the use of these machines. Down in Brazil, we know that the very popular president was taken out by the use of, in my understanding, the very same machines used here, but that in Brazil, the military can intervene if they see something wrong, which appears to be what's going to take place there. Here in the United States, I don't see any prospect of a military intervention because it's all under the control of the Democrats. I mean, and indeed, they have been decimating the American military by the vax mandates. They're going to recruit a lot of these migrants into the military, promise them citizenship, and they're confident that these newly recruited migrants are going to be willing to shoot, to fire upon the American people, which ordinary Americans that previously held those positions will not. Don, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it's going to come to. I think, I said many times, I don't think Americans have a tipping point. Just over the last couple of years, if we haven't reached a tipping point by now, I don't know what it will. I mean, I think that the people like you and I, people that are fully awake and aware of the corruption, know history and know that this didn't happen by accident. We didn't get here without a lot of precedents that people ignored and supported. That's what my hidden history writings are all about. But, the problem is that a good half the country, or at least close to it, is okay with this. They're okay with this. I said, what exactly were the Democrats going to run on? And this is the worst economy I think we've ever seen. I mean, it would not shock me any day to wake up and see the stock market completely gone, to see, the economy has absolutely collapsed, and they acknowledged it. And but because it's built on a house of cards, as the Richard Schweiker once described, the Warren Commission, Warren Report, a house of cards is going to collapse. The economy is going to collapse as well. At some point, they can't keep propping it up. But so this is also, people, we used to hear, we grew up listening to the bread and butter issues. Is the economy stupid? Well, there's nothing more bread and butter than the cost of bread and butter and the cost of everything. Anybody that goes to the store is shopping for groceries, going to the gas station, things like that. Cars, look at the cost of automobiles that's shot through the roof. Things are so bad now, unprecedented. The level of inflation, that alone should have caused a huge turnover in Congress, even though you don't know the Republicans are doing anything better, but that's just the way people react. You have two choices, so you vote against the one that's there now because you obviously don't approve of what they're doing. You have World War III, where these people are saber-rattling. They're talking about, with approval, the same party, my old party, the Democratic Party. What happened to the no nukes concerts? Where's Jackson Brown when you need him? Now they're talking, I guess, nukes are okay. The demonization of Putin and everything. They have that. You have the crazy transgender culture where you have little girls, getting their breasts removed and proudly posing online with their Frankenstein scars next to their, smiling doctors and smiling mothers. The cultural madness, the school boards, the critical race theory and the transgender story hour, transgender strip clubs, all these absurd things that nobody, obviously millions of Americans are appalled by that. You have the open borders. You mentioned where they're absolutely not even attempting to control the border. Somebody said that, and I think it's conservative, that since Biden's been in office, over 5 million have crossed the border into America. Now, those are all, and they're going to be allowed to vote as soon as they can because, as I've said many times, if you don't have to be a citizen to vote, what other country has ever even thought of that? Theoretically, you could be a tourist and go visit Paris during the election and vote. No other country would allow that. They're allowing it here. And if non-citizens can vote, what exactly is the point of citizenship? So on every front, of course, the anti-free speech agenda, the fact that they're canceling people everywhere and making up terms like misinformation and disinformation, which is just a new form of saying hate speech. As I've said, whether it's hate speech, misinformation, or disinformation, in reality, they're talking about thought crime. So you and I are thought criminals. That's what this is about. And this, they want to punish the thought criminals, and a part of that thought crime is what we're saying here today. We're questioning the results of an election, but I don't know. I don't know, again, like I said, I don't know why people would think that tyrants to this level would allow you to take them out of power. I just don't think they're going to give people an option. And our revolution, our war for independence, was fought primarily for two great principles. One was no taxation without representation. Now, anybody today that can think that you have representation, even if somehow these elections are legitimate, these people are voting in, they don't represent our interests. You can't get a hold of them. We saw during the banker bailout of 2008, whenever it was, alone, where you had, I think, polls said like 98% of Americans, every poll was against it. It didn't matter. The leaders in both parties were for it, and it went through. There's no representation. We have taxation, though. We don't have representation. And the other great principle that we talked about a lot is the consent of the governed. And that was a great, revolutionary idea, is that people everywhere have a right to consent to those that they govern. Or if they don't consent any longer, they have, as they said, a right to alter or abolish it. We're at that point now. But the problem is the precedent has been set here. In 1860, the southern states no longer consented to the government. And they said, we're going to secede, which should have been their right, as the founder said. Unfortunately, Abraham Lincoln and the federal government clapped down on them, almost a million people dead later. By 1865, it was obvious to all Americans that this is not a voluntary union, and you have no right to consent to those. If you don't consent to it, we'll kill you, and we'll make you stay in the union. So people that think you're going to be able to work, I mean, that's been decided already. So those two, the two great principles behind the American Revolution are gone. We have no right to consent to it because millions of Americans don't consent to this. And you saw what happened in 2020 when people went to Washington, D.C. Only a very few were violent to any degree at all, and they were probably all paid government informants. But even to say that is considered misinformation. We see what happened. They're still being prosecuted, given draconian sentences. Some of them have been in prison for almost 2 years, denied all due process. Do you see anybody talking about that? Did the Republicans run on that? I didn't see anybody, any of the Republican candidates running on the political prisoners in Washington, D.C., and the fact that we have politicized prosecutions from people like Manafort and Roger Stone and people like that Steve Bannon, that are being prosecuted for their political beliefs. You can't have a system like that. But the entire system, Alex Jones, obviously, you see what's happening there. And I say, regardless what you think of Alex Jones, it doesn't matter whether he's part of this or what. It's what symbolically what they're doing is they're not showing, and you know that all too well from your own personal experience. If you disagree with certain things politically, I told my people in the JFK assassination research community, well, what's to stop let's say Carolyn Kennedy, who I could see her doing it. She's a member of the CFR. I'm tired of these people, decades, talking about my father's death. And it's causing me distress. They're harassing me. What's the difference? Look at all the 9/11 family members. What's to stop them from launching lawsuits? This sets a horrible precedent, and people are applauding it because they don't like Alex Jones personally. So this is the mess we're at. Millions and millions. I disagree with you a little bit in that I think we underestimate the number of people that buy into the propaganda. So I don't know. I think Trump won in 2020, yes, but I don't think it was a landslide because the country is that divided. And I think this time, I think Republicans won more seats than they gave, and they definitely screwed them over, especially in Georgia and Pennsylvania. But I can buy some of it. I read their quotes and on Facebook and social media. I've been canceled and deleted by people that interviewed me on their shows, Bud's Hidden History, wrote reviews of my books. They've canceled me over Trump and COVID. And so they bought into it. So I think we underestimate the people that are just, there's so many millions of people that buy into this stuff. Walk around here. How many people do you see wearing masks versus not wearing masks and buying into the social distancing stuff, not hugging their relatives and breaking up families? So this is the mess we're in right now. So we ought to be able to secede and form our own society because we're at a point now. Every divorce, at the heart of it is what they call irreconcilable differences. We have irreconcilable differences with the people that are buying this, but I don't think we're going to be able to have a divorce.
Well, I think you're making a wonderful case, and the situation as I see it is appalling. I think the country is going to come apart at the seams now. I was looking forward to, having the pendulum swing back as the founding fathers intended, by periodic elections. I mean, it's really brilliant in conception, but the Democrats have discovered a way to sabotage the entire process by means of stealing elections again and again by electronic voting machines. It's going to be apparent to every historian, every political theorist, everyone who studies what goes on in America today, that this was grand theft repeated in a situation where there's no possible way the Democrats could have survived this midterm intact, that they were going to take massive blows. As I observe, even Biden's own pollster was predicting a realignment because so many blacks and Hispanics were shifting to the GOP. This is not going to go down well. Everyone's going to see what's happening. There are going to be a hell of a lot of pissed off Americans who aren't going to take it. Don, I'm telling you, I think we have crossed the Rubicon.
I hope you're right, Jim, because we're long past any tipping point, and we're long past being mad as hell and not taking anymore. And as you quote JFK's great quote about making violent revolution inevitable, if you don't. And this is what they're doing, because they're not only ignoring. Look at what they were saying before the election. That's why I kept counseling people. Look at what they're saying. You're not going to have a red wave. They're not going to allow it. They said over and over again that democracy is on trial. He said democracy on the ballot. But what in their mind, they're defining democracy as vote for us or else. I mean, the essence of democracy is supposedly the people being able to vote on who's supposed to represent them. Now, we know they don't represent them, but and they're given awful choices. There really are very few candidates that are worth voting for. Most of us, as you know, we always vote against somebody. We vote for the lesser of two evils. But in this case, to think that they would give you the opportunity, they're just not going to do that. And it's at this point, it should be obvious. When you have a lower turnover rate, average election in the Russian Politburo, the Soviet Politburo had a time, we used to criticize that back then. But I was too naive. I hadn't studied history enough to realize, well, our own elections are... the incumbent's almost impossible to lose. And we find in here that what should have happened historically in any situation, even the Biden administration was doing a great job, typically in the midterms, the Republicans would gain seats because they're out of power. But they're doing such a horrific job, as you said, that's the word for it, unprecedented. That job. And look around, you know, I still have my real estate license. The only part of the economy that was still going strong was real estate for a while. Now interest rates are going through the roof there and they're destroying that as well. There's not a single asset. Cryptocurrency has been crushed. The stock market is artificially inflated. It keeps going up and down. It's going back up again recently. But they're keeping that afloat for whatever reason. It's as phony as the fiat currency that we have, the phony system. This can't continue. It is an entire, everything is like a dog and pony show. It's being kept afloat by magicians' mirrors. And those of us, I'm sure you've heard this, the theory is that they're intentionally trying to collapse the system. And I don't know why they would want to collapse the system. I don't understand it. They've got absolute power. Seems like they have a great situation to me, but clearly everything they're doing, especially with this transgender nonsense, you turn on. You know, you turn on any, I watch very little TV, but once in a while, especially when my daughter was at home, they have an award show on or something, and just it looks like a masquerade party. But this is the way they go about, and Fetterman exemplifies that because he's proud of his tattoos. He's proud to be wearing a hoodie that looks like he, you know, just came off a street corner maybe or something. This is what we're seeing now, not to mention the transgender thing, so you're not even sure whether somebody's a man or a woman. It fits in this symbolically. I think that's why they picked Biden, because he's this doddering guy who clearly has some kind of dementia. I don't know what he's got going on, but he and Kamala Harris is this cackling, 50-some-year-old Instagram girl, basically. She's at that level. Those are our leaders. And Nancy Pelosi, again, another octogenarian that, you know, looks like she's not there. This is, ironically, Trump, you know, is close to their age, is, you know, vital, has a lot of vitality compared to them. But this is what we're left with. They symbolically, they want it to look like this. You're not going to see any, you know, very dashing figures like JFK ever again, even if, not to mention that he was actually trying to do good, but even if he was just a standard hack party politician, that's not what they're going for now. They're shooting for this look, and they want what we're seeing. This looks like America. The Fetterman types, this is what I call America 2.0. America 1.0 is gone. America 2.0 is on life support. We're running on fumes. I am, you know, almost surprised they even allowed an election. But obviously, they had this thing engineered. You're probably going to end up with almost the exact same scenario you had in 2020. Maybe they're doing this to see how much widespread opposition to it. But, you know, I'm not going to oppose it beyond just talking about it, writing about it, unless I see that there are millions of people willing to do it. And I don't know, but you have so many things there. You have the whole QAnon movement, which is, don't underestimate that. I mean, I was interviewed on a lot of those shows, people like Sean from SDT Report that had almost a million subscribers at YouTube before they took him off. Dustin Nemos, my friend, who helped put out that Where We Go One, Where We Go All, The Great Awakening book, which went to number one overall on Amazon. See, there are millions, probably, I don't know, maybe 50 million or more people at one time that subscribed to that. Now, obviously, I think that was a psyop because none of it's come true. I don't think the White Hats are in charge or anything. But all those people out there, there's many, many millions. Will they just walk away from politics? Or will they find that it's like, hey, we have to do something about this. You know, we've been played. The evil is still there. But there are no white hats. So I don't know what the answer is. But we don't, there doesn't seem, other than Trump, for whatever he represents, there doesn't, maybe DeSantis, there doesn't seem to be any real opposition to this. But somebody has to, and they have to address it all. You can't just halfway do it. You have to talk about the corruption. You have to talk about how it changed. It got so much worse during COVID, when they just went, took even more unconstitutional steps, where they shut or locked everything down unconstitutionally, put mandates. People bandy that out. Mandates, it's not a legal term. You can't just suddenly say you have to keep your social distancing or I'm going to arrest you, or you have to put a mask on. This is nonsense. That didn't go through any legislature, but people took it that way, and they ended up not being able to hold funerals, memorial services, not seeing their elderly in nursing homes. They died of broken hearts, not of COVID. All this stuff there, and we took it all, and now you see the bioweapon, which is not COVID out of some Wuhan lab. The bioweapon is the vaccine, and now we're dealing with that. So that's another thing to be considered, that millions more are probably going to die from the after effects of this vaccine. So I don't know how that'll factor in, but this would be a great science fiction movie if we didn't have to actually be in it.
Oh, Don, I think you're nailing it across the board. And yes, I expect this winter we're going to have massive deaths from the vax. I mean, it's staggering how many young people, athletes in their prime, who are dropping dead in events where they are preeminent physically, they're at the peak of their form. Just absolutely stunning.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have these Minnesota Vikings assistant coach, 38 years old, that just was dead the other day. Now they're claiming. And the explanations, if they even give, most of the time they don't provide any. They just say, but first of all, if you look at the obituaries, they just don't even provide a cause. They don't list a cause of death anymore. How many celebrities? What did Gilbert Gottfried die from? People like that. They they're dead in their 60s. And no, that shouldn't happen. But this guy was 38 years old, and the coroner later said, well, he had an eye injury, and he had been drinking. So he died because of that? I mean, explain that. I mean, they don't have to there, because look at the bodybuilder. The guy that taunted, and he's not the only one. They've others that taunted people on Twitter. The 62-year-old bodybuilder, still in great shape, said, hey, look, you know, I've gotten all my vaccines and boosters, and hey, listen, use me as a litmus test. If I die, you guys are right. If I didn't, admit you're wrong. So, of course, he died. And he goes, he actually died. The coroner came out and said, he actually died of COVID instead of the vaccine. Okay, even if you assume that's true, which I don't, then he had all his vaccines and he had his boosters. So how did he die of COVID? Again, people don't ask these questions. They just let it all. That's what disillusions me more than anything, is that the stupidity we've seen. When you can sit there, and I talk to relatives in my family, and they kind of admit it. I said, you know, first of all, the purpose of the vaccine is to protect you. So it shouldn't matter whether I get vaccinated. Because otherwise, why are you getting vaccinated? But they've managed to convince the dumbed-down American people, probably more than half of America, that they're unsafe around you and I if we're not vaccinated, even though they have all their boosters and they're fully vaccinated. And they've managed to change the definition once so many of them started, Biden was testing positive for COVID like every day for a while or something. He's about as vaccinated as you can get. But they managed to change the definition and say, well, yeah, you can still get it. It doesn't stop you from getting COVID. Okay, it's the first vaccine in history then. I think it doesn't stop you from getting the disease, supposedly. But it lessens the symptoms. But again, they've managed to change, and I see it again in my own family, where people don't want to be around me. I'm a leper because of that, and that's the way they treat us, even though the evidence, but again, we talked earlier about whether it's anything, historical things going back hundreds of years. They're not going to admit they're wrong about anything. And this, above all, they would sooner admit that Lee Harvey Oswald didn't kill JFK than admit that they were wrong about this. This is the greatest psyop in the history of the world. They're fully vested in it. They have absolutely demonized all of us, canceled us, thrown us off social media. Family relationships have been broken, fractured beyond repair, never, to be seen again. There's so much in this. They're never going to, even beyond a conspiracy level, human nature, you know, people hate to admit they're wrong. And they're never going to admit that, you know, Jim Fetzer, you were right. I don't know why I called you all those names. You know, I what am I thinking? Now, you were right about everything. Can you imagine ever hearing that from any of these people? I know I can't.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful, Don. I'm gonna open the phone lines here early after the break. You're welcome to call in 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. I know a lot of people have a lot of things they want to say about what's going on here. According to the latest report I have right now, Arizona gubernatorial race between Carrie Lake and Katie Hobbs too close to call. Simply an absurd situation. This Katie Hobbs was so bad that when CNN interviewed her, it was so embarrassing they wouldn't even post it. Carrie Lake is so sensational. She's a real pistol. She's the whole package. So articulate, so informed. She was interviewed the other day about election denials, and she had 150 examples of Democrats denying elections, just laying it out there. She's fantastic. There's no possible way this ought to be a close race. And, of course, the situation in Pennsylvania is preposterous. The very idea Fetterman should be elected over Oz after his disastrous debate is incredible. We'll be back right after this break. 540-352-4452. Call in to talk to Don Jeffries and me about this massive theft of an election. There can be no doubt about it. It's happened to us, to America. Democracy was on the ballot, and democracy lost.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming. And it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, our first caller is a familiar voice coming from Texas. Bruce, join the conversation with me and Don Jeffries.
Yes, hello, guys. How you doing?
Go for it.
Okay. I don't know where to begin. Let's go with this. I sent you an email. And it includes a picture and the website for this individual in Philadelphia. And I don't think it was an accident that Joe Biden gave his Dark Brandon speech there at Liberty at the Independence Hall. That's the biggest seat aside from Washington, D.C. of corruption in the United States. It's Philadelphia. It's one individual, Seth Bluestein. He was the man in charge of elections in 2020. Who put up the boards, the cardboard over the windows, kicked out the Republican election observers, and stole the election for Joe Biden. And he's still in charge of elections. Now he's a city commissioner. This is big machine politics on a scale probably never seen before in the world. If you recall your history, in the American history in the mid-1800s, there was the Tammany Hall organization in New York City. And it was corrupt. They ran the elections. They did all sorts of bad things there. But they managed to get thrown out of power eventually. But now it's international in scope. It's corporate. And you have all these funders, the George Soros types that are putting money into it, and it's all concentrated in these big cities. So I don't know. I don't see a path out of this. This is 2020 all over again. It's pretty goddamn depressing.
Yes, it is. And all the polls showed it was going to be an overwhelming. There was going to be a red wave, and they managed to drain it to a trickle, and it's very clear. There's no way that could have happened other than through the manipulation of the outcome by the voting machines. I mean, on October 17th, for example, there was 63% of those polls said the country was on the wrong track. Now, that's historically the typical indicator, and the number grew and grew and grew. And you have Hispanics who are turning red. We had blacks who are turning red. We had suburban women who are turning red. There's no possible way this is a legitimate outcome. Don, your thoughts?
Yeah, and certainly I agree with you. Obviously, the poll numbers were bad for Democrats, not even individually, but yeah, things like the country heading in the right direction, yeah, that would indicate, well, if you don't think it's headed in the right direction, why would you keep voting the people in power back? But I don't think it's impossible that any number of Americans are stupid enough at this point to do just that. I don't think you can underestimate. H.L. Mencken once said, no one ever went broke underestimating the intelligence of the American public. And that American public in the 1930s was at a whole different level. They were a bunch of Shakespeares compared to what we have today. But Bruce made an interesting point about Tammany Hall. This is Boss Tweed politics. Remember, Boss Tweed was the boss of Tammany Hall. And you had bosses. And more recently, Mayor Daley in Chicago. People used to make fun of those big city politics and how everyone knew they were corrupt. The vote early and often, that's what they used to tell their followers because they knew. So that has been extended now across the country, but especially in the cities. And Bruce, again, made up a point when you saw those videos of them putting in Philadelphia, especially, it's notoriously bad. I mean, you think Chicago's not going to be bad? New York, Detroit, these are cities that are just, again, run by puppets, and they're run largely by black local activists that are easily manipulable and, really don't even know what's going on to some degree other than this is what they're supposed to do, putting up those cardboard signs. Again, that's not what a so-called democratic process does. How many times did we see them keeping observers a certain distance away? Why couldn't they just sit there and look over their shoulder? How are you going to observe if it's too far away to actually see what's going on? They don't want any transparency, obviously. And at this point, we should do what France did. If we want to get it, but we don't want to get it right, obviously. Bring back paper ballots. But again, as Lenin said a long time ago, it doesn't matter who votes, it matters who counts the votes. And it's never been more clear than ever now. They are in complete control. Again, I've never been a Republican, but at this point, the Democrats largely are just absolute lunatics. And they are so bad.
They're criminals.
Yeah, they're criminals, and they're just insane. I mean, many of them are just, I can't even figure out what the rationale is for some of the things they do. But things like Gretchen Whitmer, who was just, one of the biggest tyrants of all the governors, Gavin Newsom out in California. Last I looked, he had 67% of the vote. These are the most tyrannical leaders that enforced the mandates, that kept children out of school. They don't think, so parents weren't angry about that? They weren't, apparently not. So how did they get overwhelmingly returned to office? So it flies in the face of the poll that says they're dissatisfied with the way the country is going. If you're dissatisfied with the way the country is going, this is the only chance you get. In your everyday lives, we don't have any power. My book, Survival of the Richest, is all about that. And it's more relevant now than ever. I wrote it before the pandemic and the even greater transfer. Ron Paul said after the first stimulus bill, this is the greatest transfer of wealth in the history of the world, from the middle class to the elite. And it just got worse and longer. We don't have any idea. I don't know how consolidated the wealth must be at this point. But when I wrote that book, the statistic I quoted over and over again is the bottom 50% at that time. The bottom half of America had less than 1% of the collective wealth combined. So the bottom half then had nothing. Since that time, how many millions of illegals have crossed over who are entering at the absolute bottom of that scale? And what's happening? They're squeezing out what's left of the middle class. And after the unconstitutional lockdown, how many people lost their jobs? How many small businesses sold? It could be 60% easily now that have less than 1% of the collective wealth. I don't know. But I do know it's a terrible situation. And this, in a so-called democracy, which was supposed to be a constitutional republic, but okay, we'll call it a democracy, this is supposed to be your chance. This is where you get a chance to throw the bums out, to make your voice be heard. Well, your voice here, you just gave a collective giant thumbs up. You voted in 98% or whatever it is in the incumbents again, like you do every election. So if these elections were legitimate, what would those leaders think? You've enabled them. You've given them a mandate. Yeah, bring on the restrictions. Sure. Shut down my business. I don't care. Cancel me for free speech. Have political prisoners in Washington, D.C. Target people for prosecution. And let's bring on World War III and let's go for nuclear weapons as well. That's what you're supporting. And too many people do support it. I obviously think that they're massive fraud. But again, I don't know how much is necessary at this point. California, how much fraud do you need out there? I don't know. Probably maybe a quarter of the voters are illegals. I don't know. Do they even understand what they're voting on? So it's a very bad situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And they passed a voter bill out there under Jerry Brown that when you obtained a driver's license, you're automatically registered to vote, which sounds just great. If you don't understand that illegals there in California are allowed to obtain driver's license and thereby were registered to vote. I mean, it's just so corrupt and so blatant.
Yep.
Bruce.
Absolutely. And that's,
they tried to fight the steal in 2020. It became evident that the judiciary is not going to do their job. So when you have criminals that have no, they face no repercussions for their actions, they're going to keep doing criminality. And it went all the way to the Supreme Court refused to hear the election dispute. The U.S. Supreme Court. So it's in the bag for them. I don't know. I mean, perhaps I'm just being a little jaded. That's how I see it. But if there's no repercussions for your actions, then there's no reason. If you have no morality, which these people don't, what's going to stop you?
Yeah, Don.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can't disagree with them. And, one of my books is Bullyocracy, where I wrote about bullying in school. So I know a lot about bullies. I heard lots of families whose kids killed themselves over bullying and how the schools enable it, don't do anything about it. I mean, people can read it if they're interested. But that's the situation we're in now. We are basically collectively, we have Stockholm syndrome too, but collectively the bully is taking our lunch money every day. And they're stepping it up. They're going further and further, demanding more and more money. They're hitting us at will whenever they want, and we're taking it. And people observing it are letting it happen. No one's stepping in to help. So forget that. There's nowhere in society no one's going to step in to help you. There's parents at school board meetings. When they protest the tyrants, what happens? They send out the cop that's there. He arrests them, and nobody there protests. They sit there with their masks on and don't do anything. That's America right now. That's where we are. The bully is taking our lunch money, beating us up, and we're not doing anything. And again, I'm not suggesting anything really at all, other than that the only way you ever stop a bully is you have to eventually fight back. We have to fight back in some way. I don't know at this point what recourses we have left to us. We can't vote ourselves out of it. We can't. The legal system is impossible because it's been completely corrupted. You see some of the decisions are being made. You can't. You may here or there get a decent judge, but very unlikely. Media is completely co-opted. We have state-controlled media. I don't know what Taft and Pravda were like at the head of the Soviet Union, but effectively we have Taft and Pravda. But the only difference was the Soviet people knew it was state-controlled media. Millions of Americans believe that this absurd media we have are actually part of a free press. And that's the problem, too. So what avenues are open to us? I don't know. I don't look at that. And again, people that talk about, armed revolution or whatever. Well, the problem is we have a military-industrial complex that has more armaments than anybody's ever had. So I'm not suggesting we try that. But if you did, they have a lot more weapons than any of us ever thought of having. That's not going to go well either. The only thing we have, like Orwell's Proles in 1984, we have a huge advantage in numbers. So if we could somehow get together and have millions, and I mean millions, march at one time, to the outside Congress or something like that, a show of force that the world could see, maybe some, I don't know, may, that, that might possibly, may, or, massive Martin Luther King, Gandhi-style resistance, of nonviolent resistance, sit-downs everywhere, things like that. Maybe if there's enough, I don't know, it worked once, Well, at work now, I don't know. I'm very disillusioned. I don't have much optimism.
Well, let me bring in someone who will further compound your pessimism. Paul, join the conversation.
In the famous words of Claude Rains in Casablanca, I'm shocked. Shocked, I tell you, there was no red wave. My goodness, the people don't have a voice. What a shocking development in American history, huh?
Yeah, well, yeah. If voting made a difference, they wouldn't let us do it, Paul. I think you've made that observation in the past.
Well, all I can say is I didn't hear the word Jew used in the first hour, nor in the call-in section, so let me be the first to use the word Jew, okay? It's not Barack Obama. It's not the Democrats. It's Jews, all right? There may be some non-Jews cooperating and involved, but we know who's behind the scenes, pulling the levers, you know, cramming the gears of justice with their special, you know, Jewish grease. It's just one hot mess we have, and there is no political way out, as I've been saying for years. And one more thing I'll just correct quickly. The other day, Jim, you talked about Nancy Pelosi, and you made some reference about she's supposedly Catholic or something like that. Of course, this is absurd. I sent you photos before of her family and her father when she was a little girl. Her father was a Jew. Her mother was a Jew. In the photos, she looks like a little Jewish girl, you know, just that classic look. So.
Oh, really? Paul, very, very good. No, I had the impression Nancy was Catholic. Very good. That's fascinating. And, of course,
You probably forgot, or maybe, you know, it's buried in all the emails you get from everybody. But, yeah, her father was D'Alessandro, okay? He was basically a rum runner, right? And you can see a picture of D'Alessandro. One of the pictures is with a JFK. And he looks like a little gnome. He's maybe 5'5 or 5'6, and he looks like a little Jewish gnome. And it's super obvious, and you do a background on her, and that's they came, you know, from Eastern Europe, and it's
fascinating.
They are fascinating.
Boy, I miss a boat on that one. Thank you, Paul. Thank you. That's excellent. Don, your thoughts?
Well, Pelosi, I don't know about that, but I do know her father was a mobster, and JFK was concerned enough about him as the mayor of Baltimore that some files released a couple years ago that he wanted some investigation down there, and Pelosi's brother. One of her brothers was arrested in a gang assault on like a 12-year-old girl or something. And I think it was a bunch of guys. All the others were prosecuted. He was the only one that was like, this is a historical aside. But, you know, the Jew question, I get it all the time. And, you know, I have lots of supporters that are Jews. And I don't like generalizations. And I'm aware the problem is that until America faces the fact of the incredible disproportionate power that Jews are 2% of the population wield, especially in positions of media, especially in politics as well. But and this is you saw recently with Kanye West and Kyrie Irving, where they made comments that were, of course, you know, instantly labeled anti-Semitic, and they were slapped down. I mean, Kyrie Irving, and he was the Anti-Defamation League, who is the largest voice for censorship in the United States right now, the world. And people continue, Elon Musk apparently is kowtowing to them in some degree after talking about free speech on Twitter. But the ADL and Jewish groups like that act as if Jews run everything. And that's what I keep trying to say. You know, if you're telling people this is anti-Semitic, you say this, but then you respond like you did with Kyrie Irving by trying to fine him some absurd amount of money and make him take sensitivity training, you're acting as if you're guilty. Right? So why are you acting that way? Let's have a dialogue about this and explain. Maybe there's an explanation for why 2% of the population is the president of every major motion picture studio.
Don, yeah. if I may, with all due respect, there is no dialogue with these people. Okay? You cannot have a dialogue with them. There's only one solution. They got to be gone. And you may or may not like generalities, as you say. But we can forget about what you may or may not like or what anybody may or may not like to talk about. Okay, it's a simple problem. It's always been a simple problem. And many cultures throughout history, 109 at last count, from what I understand, have figured out what the problem is and dealt with it. The Germans were right. The National Socialists were correct. They had it nailed 100%. And you have to be sophisticated enough to realize it. I wasn't back in the 80s and the 90s when I first stumbled upon Henry Ford's book, The International Jew. It's a tough read, okay? Yeah. And a lot of it, it's like it makes your head swim. I tried to read Mein Kampf back in the 80s, and I'm going, what the heck is this? I had, you know, because I was not aware. I did not have the sophisticated mind that I would later develop through basically time and study and reflection and observing reality. But the bottom line is now when I listen to Mein Kampf on audiobooks online, it's a bell of clarity. There can be no doubt who the enemy is. And it doesn't matter if anybody articulates the not all argument. I am so tired of the simplistic, oh, not all Jews. Oh, not all blacks. Oh, not all Muslims. It's ridiculous. There's no way forward with that type of thinking. So I'm just making my position clear, as I've done for years. And Jim has been kind enough to allow me to do it. And I appreciate it. But we have to be men. Okay, there's no time for equivocating or dialoguing with these people. Thanks for hearing that.
Well, Paul, you know, with all due respect to you, your way again is that's an impossibility. That's never gonna. You're just gonna end up being thrown in FEMA camps. And the problem is that you. What does it even mean to be a Jew now? I have no Jewish blood in me that I know of, but most of my relatives are partially Jewish because one of my mother's sisters. Married a Jewish guy, many, you know, the early years of the century and of the 20th century, and he converted to Catholicism. I have hundreds of cousins that come from that strain. That's most of my relatives. So, I mean, none of them are practicing Jews. So, there's lots of other people. There's so much, you know, what they used to call interracial, they used to call it intermarriage back then. There are very few pure Jewish groups now. So again, I think that's it, because there are lots and lots of people that are Jewish that are like one of my good friends and supporters is a guy named Ernest.
Yeah, okay, this is okay, fine.
Wait, Paul, don't interfere when Don's speaking, kindly. I give you plenty of time, Paul. You know we have an issue here. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, I mean, one of my big supporters is a guy named Ernest Henry Raft, who is the great-nephew of George Raft, a great actor, who was Jewish. A lot of people thought he was Italian. This guy is, and he talks about Jews all the time. Lots of Jewish people do. Bobby Fischer was one of the great anti-Semites, according to Jews, of all time, and he was Jewish. He talked about, so you can't, I think you have to realize, I agree with what you're saying, but it's not everyone in power is Jewish. But a wildly disproportionate amount of people are. That has to be addressed. We have to acknowledge that. You can't keep, you know, punishing people for saying it. But the problem is 99.99% of people who are Jewish in America are part of the same rigged system. Yeah, they may do better on general economics.
Oh, my God.
Well, it's true.
I worked with people
that weren't many.
Okay,
but
Jim,
people who were Jewish who had dead-end blue collar jobs. They're not benefiting from it. So you can't, when you say the Jews, it's like the work people when they say the whites. Whites this and that. That's why I hate generalities. It's just that you can't just because first
okay,
of all, you don't
okay,
know
okay, can I just respond? We get it. We get it, okay? I'm sorry, but listen, Tim. This is just another example of the not all argument ad infinitum with all his family members. Who cares? So what? It doesn't matter. We have to be separated from them. They cannot be allowed to hold office. They cannot be teachers. They cannot be lawyers. They cannot be doctors. That's what's been done before. Would that be okay with you, Don, and all your relatives? Would that pass muster for you? Are we somehow going to pick and choose and say, okay, no, this Jew's okay, but that Jew's not okay? You know, it's ridiculous. We have to separate, period. End of story. I don't give a damn about how much intermarriage has gone on with your family. It's a simplistic personal argument, and it doesn't work. The not-all argument is death. The not-all argument is death to us.
How
do you
understand?
Do you care about the white race?
But he's asking you a question, Paul. Go listen to Doc.
How would you possibly make that kind of separation, especially when you have so many people that are half Jewish, quarter Jewish, or even less, don't consider themselves Jewish? Are they going to have to separate too? How would you do this? And we talked about secession earlier.
Exactly.
A lot of this.
Exactly.
Well, a lot that, of this there, wants there to was, there,
it could be, it can be done. If we can think about the solutions, right, it can occur, right? If we can put a man on the moon, then we can do that.
Well,
we did put a man on the moon. You know that, Paul. Good God.
Come on, it was a perfect use of that phrase.
But no, look, I understand.
Listen, all I ask of you is you not speak over my guests. All right, that's all I ask of you, Paul. Just be polite. Go ahead, Don.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
Yeah, and again, I just think again. I don't think the idea is that you realize your argument. Look, my argument or any arguments that are less radical than mine, conservative Republican arguments, where half the country is not receptive to that. How many people do you think are going to listen to what you're saying? I mean, nobody. I mean, it's an impossibility. We have to stop. And if you, again, the people that glorify Hitler, and I've read all these kind of things. Read the book Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler by Andy Sutton. Just like Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution. Hitler was not some painter that got up on a table and started pontificating. He was backed by the same forces that backed him. I think he was a designated loser in World War II. He set out to be that way, and then he shipped off to Argentina after the war. So we make a mistake when we try to say America fought to the wrong side in World War II or whatever. America shouldn't have been involved, period. None of these wars are any of our business. That's part of why we're in the situation we're in, because we got into this absurd globalist nonsense that has nothing to do with our own country. And it's still going on. So I just think when you're going down that way, it's a dead-end path.
Okay,
I
agree.
Stand by, Paul. We go into a break. We'll be back.
Okay.
With Don Jeffries and Paul on the phone.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia. at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
As most of you are aware, meaning the whole audience, I distinguish between Zionists and Jews specifically, where Zionists adhere to the Jewish supremacy position that Jews are superior to all other races who only exist to serve the Jew, because in my opinion, that's the problem. I've had a lot of friends who are Jewish. I've got my closest friend today happens to be Jewish. And I don't condemn him by virtue of being Jewish, but if he were a Zionist, we'd have strenuous differences, just as others might observe. Are we going to judge all Californians because there are a lot of progressives or liberals out here? Paul, you would acknowledge that, I would like to think.
Okay, yeah, to be clear, and this could and should be a much longer show, a debate for a good full 2 hours, perhaps, with back and forth between me and somebody like me as well, and then, you know, the other side. But so I'm not a maniac, okay? I'm a human being, but I also clearly see reality, okay? And in the end, this is not a political issue. Zionism is a political philosophy or political movement. This is a racial issue. And the fact that they're always beating us over the head all the time about race is the big tell. The fact that they have engineered systematically over decades non-white aliens to come and invade us. The fact that they systematically for decades promote in the media miscegenation and mixing of our blood. Okay. A cattle rancher knows the importance of bloodline. The dairy farmer knows the importance of bloodlines. Okay. A horse rancher knows the importance of bloodlines. The Germans and the other people in the past that have written about this matter are correct on the racial issue. So the problem that we have when we allow these people to remain in a society with limited rights, then sooner or later they're going to start to advocate for full rights and full citizenship. And that's a problem. The Germans, from what I understand, they allowed quarter Jews to serve in the military and be in other parts of the government. They were not totally forbidden. Okay, this is from what I know, from what I've read. And it's not as important the exact specifics about, you know, what money Hitler took and what he did. Okay. The overall picture is far more important to me and what their policies were. Okay. And they did indeed exclude Jews from all these positions I just mentioned, finance, education, government, so on and so forth. And they had their own money system. All the Germans wanted, when you read what the National Socialists wrote about and when you hear their speeches, what Hitler wanted for the German people was to create a high culture in Germany. They wanted a piece of land exclusively for Germans. Now, how wrong is that? I think that we should have a piece of land exclusively for white Americans. Let's call it the United States. And then we can proceed from there to make our decisions. But we're the ones making the decisions because we're the majority and we're the ones that built the country. The Jews were not known to be farmers and artisans and miners and builders and so forth. Historically, what have they been known for besides merchants, money changers, and as we know, their history of ritual child sacrifice, ritual child murder, and kidnapping. So although it's nice to hear these anecdotal examples of how many nice Jews you've known, for Christ's sake, you don't think I've ever had any Jewish friends, or I didn't go to school with Jews, or I dated Jewish women? Check, check, check. But I'm a grown man now, and I have to ask myself, what is the way forward? What is the proper way to look at this? And all I see over and over for years is power, will to power. These Jews have a will to power unmatched. Well, we have to match it. Okay, if we don't match it, we're going to disappear as a race. I don't like to see that. I don't think that's a good idea.
John, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, again, I understand you're very well read historically, and you're absolutely right. All those countries did throw the Jews out over at certain points in history. Absolutely. There's anecdotal evidence of ritual murder. You know, I understand that. Again, did you think that's ever going to get you any airtime anywhere? No one's going to acknowledge that. The problem is society has changed, and it may be because of the disproportionate Jewish influence in media and academia. But society has changed to the point now where your argument wouldn't have sold very well in America 100 years ago. It's not going to sell at all now. I think we should confront, whether it's blacks, Jews, or anybody else, you confront them on the same, you know, I for instance, when talking about blacks getting away with stuff, which they do, but I would say, look, there should be rules, laws, regulations, standards of conduct. They have to apply evenly across the board, regardless of your religion, race, or economic status, if you're, you know, rich. We've never done that. And that's an argument that can't be refuted. It's when you start injecting other things into it, it's easier for them to just call you names. You can't call a name from somebody demanding that everything be applied to everyone equally. Same thing with you. Okay, this go individual Jews that you see. Let's talk about it. You don't have to mention necessarily the Jews because that's not going to get you anywhere. But if you're talking about the president of Disney or Plus or whatever, if you're talking about these awful things they're doing, things they're promoting, that's a winning argument because they can't be defended. It's an obvious agenda. So you make inroads like that, and you have to ask yourself the question that how did we get in a position where 2% of the people have such a fraction of those 2% have such an incredible degree of power over our culture? Especially, obviously, somehow that happened and people allowed it to happen. And it's interesting because it happened largely during a time when you had, I know from, I've heard anecdotes, my sisters that are much older than me, that you had beaches in our area that had signs, no Jews allowed. So you had those kinds of things going on, but at the same time, they were already in disproportionate spheres of influence and no one seemed to notice or mention it or whatever. And I think it has to be acknowledged. Just on the surface of you would acknowledge if Unitarians had this kind of influence or something like that, or Moonies or whatever, anybody. So I don't disagree with your saying, and I think you ought to be able to have to live. I mean, and people that just want to be in a white-only community, again, that's never going to be allowed, especially in this climate. But I think the best we can hope for is to try to get away from the madness and to try to get away from the woke forces. And try to start your, I mean, I'm not conservative at all, but I'd much rather live and, you know, amongst a bunch of, you know, Republicans at this point than the other side. And I just think it would be, you know, lots less regulation. I wouldn't have to worry as much about what I'd say. I wouldn't have to be canceled. I would, you know, I can't politically prosecute it or whatever. There may be a chance of that. I don't know. But I think when you start putting it at this point, I understand what you're saying. And believe me, I've read all the stuff you've read. I've been there. I understand what you're saying, but I think you ought to look at, if you want to just look at I've heard many people say about the Quran, the Muslim Quran, and they have quotes from it that are identical to what I've heard other people say are quotes from the Talmud. And it usually revolves around a rabbi is allowed to have sex with a four-year-old girl if they want to marry a four-year-old girl. There's one rule for the Jews and one rule for the Goyim, for the beast. They say the same thing about the Quran. if they can have sex with a 4-year-old girl, there's one rule for the devotees of Allah, and everybody else is an infidel. It's the
okay.
same thing. So I don't know if that's true or not, but I think it's very illuminating that in both those religions they have the same kind of thing. So is there an exaggeration? Is there, I haven't looked at the Quran and I haven't looked at the Talmud. I don't know. Maybe you know more than I do.
Okay, so listen, this is what I hear. Okay, I hear a lot of agreement, but then I hear a lot of overanalysis and equivocation, and philosophizing. And that time is past. Okay, I'm sorry, but we need clarity. Okay, complexity is our enemy at this point. All right, we need clarity and simplicity. Okay, as in we're going to rule. Okay, we're going to kick you out. We're going to kick your ass. We're going to leave you out of any influence, and then you're going to be gone. I mean, that's the only way to think. I mean, all this stuff that you're saying about what's possible or what's not possible, you know what? I'm not interested. A lot of people are not interested. That may be true, okay? But I'd rather die trying, right, than think about, well, we can't do this or we can't do that. No. What history has shown that when men get determined and make up their minds to do something, they can accomplish things, because most people will be spectators. Most people will be spectators and will not be involved. So what they have shown, these people, the Jews, our enemy, the historical enemy of mankind. Think about that moniker that they've earned, right? Culture destroyers, nation wreckers, right? Who has that reputation but them, okay? And the reason they have this reputation is because they seem to be ruthlessly determined to do the things that they do, like what they're doing now to us, and through various means, right? Through all these different movements, okay? BLM, transgenderism, promoting homosexuality, most of the stuff that they're promoting and they're trying to get us to worship at the altar of was illegal at one point, including mixed-race marriages. I'm such a terrible Nazi, I'd be in favor again of making mixed-race marriages illegal. That's how far along I am. I'm not fixable. And I think that the more and more people that come this way, and believe me, there's a lot, it's a growing movement. And I think sooner or later that has to be where we're going to go. Otherwise, we're just going to get lost in a sea of non-white humanity that they're bringing here. They want to create a disunified Tower of Babel flea market bazaar out of the United States. Everything that they're doing is called leveling. They're bringing us down and they're raising the third world up. They want us all to be at the level of servitude and worship to them and their money. And as a white man, I say, F that. That's my position.
Let me bring in another point of view. Mitchell, would you kindly join the conversation here? I'd be very glad to get your thoughts. You did a extensive review of the election as it was unfolding last night. Any observation about the election or the issues Paul's raising here would be welcome.
Let me get unmuted here. I'm not sure my Skype's not acting.
We can hear you.
Okay. Well, yeah, I have another idea about this. I could imagine 500 or 1,000 years from now, that anybody that is a Californian will be responsible for the loss of anal retentiveness around the world. That liberalism and Californians, whoever they are, will all be painted in the same brush as Gavin Newsom. That's what I can see in the future. How's that sound, Paul?
Yeah, okay. Bring it on. Let's have some more.
No, I'm just saying, I really feel, you know me, it's all individuals and then the mass psychoses that people get put under by different control systems. I do fault the people. But I can't blame the generational part of it on them, if that makes any sense. So God bless you guys.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure how much of that factors into what we're talking about, because, you know, we have to identify. We have to understand what the problem is, you know, identify it, and then think about ways to resolve it. And in the end, in my humble opinion, it does come down to some fairly simple ideas. Yes, it can be messy. And yes, there's, you know, some eggs are going to be broken. And, you know, I'm sorry, but it's like these people were not invited here. Right? It's like, okay, what about all the poor illegal immigrants that are coming here to make a better life? You know, they're just kind of
They have to come here. Look, any immigrant that wants to come to the United States has to come through a legal process. Coming in across a non-border entry is not a legal process. And I believe that the 30 to 35 million illegal immigrants in the United States right now should be rounded up in mass and ejected. Now,
I'm
sure that would be considered so politically incorrect it could never happen.
No.
But that's the shit that's got to happen. We got 5 million since Biden came in office, and they're bragging that they get out 72,000 out of 1.2 million illegal immigrants who are already supposed to be kicked out of this country. It's freaking disgusting. I agree with that on you, Paul. I have no problem. I just, you know,
we're on the same team
when we
there.
Don't do what we have to do.
Right. See, here's the problem with our so-called Jewish rule, which is what we're under right now. Let's face it. Let's call it what it is. We are under Jewish rule, okay? I mean, you look at Biden's cabinet, Jim Fetzer, and all his work he's produced has multiple times talked about these panel of 100, a panel of 100, a panel of 100, and all these networks. I mean, good God, nothing could be more obvious than we're completely, totally under Jewish rule, financially, the media, government, et cetera. So under Jewish rule, our laws don't mean anything. It's only their policy. Think about that. It's what I said to a coworker just the other day. We were talking about this immigration. We have immigration laws, but they're trumped by policy. So if policy is important, why do we need laws? You know, the whole thing is just insanity. They work on our minds with this ridiculous world of inversion. And it's just, you know, it drives you crazy. I mean, this is what it's designed to do. I've read so many good articles online, including a bunch over time at National Vanguard, a site I highly recommend, where they talk about the exact ways that they have worked on our minds to destroy our psychology, to destroy our sense of self-preservation, to destroy any sense of unity and pride of who we are. We're members of a group. I didn't come here on my own. I had my parents and their parents and their parents and many other people in the community. We have an ancestry, okay? And I think we need to honor our ancestors and our ancestry by surviving and taking care of ourselves. And if we don't get radical, we're not gonna be able to do that.
John.
Yeah, I don't know how much we can talk about this. So I didn't think I was gonna have a huge discussion about Jews at this point. I mean,
well, that's Paul. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, there's no. There's no what Paul is talking about. I think he would have said, you know, I read, back in the day before the internet, I used to order right wing and left wing subversive material from all over the place. And they had a group called Sons of Liberty in Metairie, Louisiana, which had a lot of these things. That's how I learned about Harry Elmer Barnes. I use his term court historian in all my books. Great guy. But, you know, again, I think there's a way to do it. And I just don't think your approach. It's practical. If the idea is you're trying to get support, because obviously for whatever you're talking about, you need a lot of support. I just don't think in America, you have to accept the reality of America 2.0. You can speculate on how it happened and why we're at the state we are. But when you look at the 57 genders and the little boys and little girls and their parents willing, their mothers willingly taking them to transgender strip shows and things like that, this is not the country it was even 30 years ago. Let alone you might have gotten farther in your argument 50 years ago or something, but at this point the best we can hope for is to try to maybe break off into local communities But I don't think they're going to let us do that. I don't think they
exactly
really care.
Exactly. Just, you said it right there. So why talk about it? They will destroy these communities. Okay. To talk
right,
about
because,
separating into small local communities is insane. We have to fight.
Yeah.
If we separate into small local communities, we might be fine for a generation or two. We mostly might be left alone, but then we'll be isolated and picked off community by community. Look at what they've already done. Look at what they did to Paradise, yeah, California, for example. Look at what they did to Waco, so on and so on. Separating in communities, in my opinion, in the generality, is the way of the coward.
Well, again, I you're an interesting guy.
And, you're,
I mean,
and by the
I
way, John, with all due respect, okay, the sentiments you express, while I understand why you say them, you're just going to be uninvited from the room. Sooner or later, there's going to be a room, maybe several rooms, with enough members so that we can discuss about our way forward. And anybody that talks about, well, I don't think this and I don't think that and I don't think it's possible, see you later. Go live your life.
Well,
we're not interested in what you think is possible.
It won't be the first room I was uninvited from. I've been canceled and uninvited a lot. I am what I am. I'm a populist, and I'm also anti-eugenicist, and I understand that most of our leaders are eugenicists. So, again, when you start talking about these things, you stray over into that area because then that's basically what all.
Let me ask you a question, Don. Have you seen the movie Idiocracy?
Yes, I have.
You've seen it. Okay.
Yeah.
That's an actual fact that's occurring. That's dysgenics. Do you prefer dysgenics to eugenics? All eugenics means is promoting the best in your race and the best in society. That's all it is. It's nothing but a good idea.
I don't have to prefer either one of them. I think they're both extremes, but I don't.
Yeah,
think
well, see, that's the problem. Because when you allow, I mean, there's an old saying. It's pretty simple. Whatever it is you allow, you'll have more of. Okay, so you can't just let people do what they want to do because then it's going to be the lowest common denominator, and that's exactly what's being promoted, and we know who's promoting it. I've already named their names so many times. It's not the Catholics that are promoting this gutter, lowest common denominator society, okay? Is it? It's not the Presbyterians. It's not the Buddhists, and it's not the Muslims, for God's sakes. So who's promoting this lowest common denominator, race to the bottom, race to the gutter society? Name the name, John. Name it.
Right. Well, I talk about Jews all the time, okay? So people, and I
okay.
talk
there
about the Jew, name the Jew and everything. But, I mean, I told you, they had wildly disproportionate influence, and you have to be able to mention that. But beyond what you're saying, I don't know what you're talking about if you think you're going to forcibly eject Jews, does that include half Jews, quarter
it's
Jews?
It's been done.
I
understand it took a few hundred years for the Spanish to kick the Moors out of Spain, but they did it. It wasn't easy. Nothing worth doing is easy. Sorry. But the Spanish had to work on it for a while to get rid of the Moors. And unfortunately, I believe, and I'm not alone in this, that they incurred a lot of racial damage and a lot of bloodline damage by mixing with the Moors all during that time, because the Spanish, as a rule, are not like a lot of the other Europeans, just like the Southern Italians are not Aryan as much as the other Europeans. So the damage to the blood is done by this situation. So that's what we have to think of. In the end, I'm sorry, it's just a biological issue. It's a racial issue. Politics is part of it, but we have to think in terms of preserving our race. I don't think there's anything more important, and I don't think there's any greater amount of evidence exists that the white race is the builder and the bringer of civilization, and that's the most worthwhile of preserving. And I'll rest at that. Thanks for all this time I got today, Jim. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it was good. It was good, Paul. You were fine. Don, I can't thank you enough for coming on. I'd like to get your summary overview of what you think we're living through here and how it's going to play out, because I see this as all very, very bad for the country. Very bad.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's, Paul wants to call them Jews or whatever, but who obviously being run and ruled by some pretty awful people. And that's why you get theories about reptilians and things like that and Satanism and so forth, because they're is so far removed from what we consider to be decent human beings. They have an entrenched power that the world has never seen. Right now, I think present-day America is the greatest force for evil the world has ever seen. And I'm sorry. So if, you know, the Muslims, whatever, call it the great Satan, I can't argue with them. And you can see it. And the idea that they continue to parrot what is obvious lunacy. For instance, they're talking about they're defending democracy in the Ukraine with this penis piano playing Zionist who's banned all political opposition there. They continue to do that. Or when they talk about democracy, this election is about democracy, but if you don't vote for us, you know, you could find yourself in prison like the political prisoners over there. So it's an inversion of reality, and they're getting away with it because there's no effective opposition. And that's the problem, is that when Donald Trump is the leader of your opposition, you don't have much of an opposition. And that's why it will be interesting to see how the public, and especially how the talking heads in the Republican Party, how they respond to this obvious fraudulent election here. I mean, it couldn't be more transparent. But it was pretty transparent in 2020, too. So we'll see what happens, if they're scared to talk about it, or if they make some kind of deal about it. And I don't know. I can only watch like the rest of us, but I think at this point, those are, you know, what's the old expression? If you don't vote, it only encourages them. And at this point, there's no reason to vote anymore, because there aren't any candidates really most of the time that are good enough, and you're voting for the lesser of two evils. But when you can't even get people in, I mean, if you really think Dr. Oz and Herschel Walker, I mean, you know, even if they got in there, are they going to lead some kind of revolution? I don't know. I don't think so. I think you're going to have a bunch of rhinos that really are just kind of milk toast and wishy-washy and ready to apologize for the drop of the hat.
John, thank you. I can't thank you enough for coming on today. Just simply excellent. I just want to say I think this is a calamity for the country, and I'm not going to be surprised if things get more violent. I'm not advocating, but I'm saying I think that's very much in the offing. These Democrats have gone a bridge too far in destroying democracy. It was on the ballot, and it's lost.
Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence...